Very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So last week we studied about a class called as type and antitype. So the model and real. So we all know and we all have seen that the things which are written in the Old Testament is just a image of the things real to come, that is in the New Testament. So that is called as type and antitype. So we also seen that the things mentioned, so many things in the Old Testament, you see, those all things reflects the Christ and the Gospel Church, New Testament. So last time, what we studied was that we studied about, we took an example about Abraham's life. And we saw that how Abraham, you see, sacrificed his only son, Isaac. So it was a type of Heavenly Father sacrificing his only son, Jesus. You see, so we saw so many similarities. How they had to walk 3 days to the Mount of Moriah, and how the wood was carried by Isaac himself, and how, you see, Isaac was bound and laid on the altar by Abraham, and how Isaac did not rebuke or fight with his father when he was supposed to sacrifice him. So this all signifies how the 3.5 years ministry of Jesus Christ, and how the Golgotha was climbed by Jesus himself, and how Jesus had to carry his own cross, and how when Jesus was laid on the cross, he did not murmur against God. So we have seen all those types and antitypes. So today, we are going to continue this little bit further and see what is the meaning of three wives of Abraham. You see, when Abraham himself is a type of God and Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ, then surely the three wives of Abraham also should have a meaning. So if you see in the Bible, Abraham had three wives. You see, the three wives are Sarah, Agar and Ketura. So today, we're going to see what does these three wives signify. You see, Abraham was a very rich person and he had a beautiful wife called as Sarah. You see, and they were quite rich. But Abraham had everything, but he lacked one thing. And that was that he lacked a heir for all his property. He did not have a son, you see. And that is the time that Abraham was praying to God and seeking for the one true God. And that time, you see, God called him to the promised land, and Abraham journeyed also. But even then, they were not blessed with any child. And that is the time that Sarah, you see, sought a concubine or a wife to marry Abraham. And her name was Agar. You see, based on the compulsion of Sarah, Abraham married Agar. And as soon as Abraham married Agar and she was an Egyptian slave, you see, immediately Ishmael was born. But even after Ishmael was born, God never forget the promise which he had made nearly 25 years before, that in thy seed, that means in Abraham and Sarah, shall a child come, a seed come, and they shall bless all the nations of this earth. So three angels actually visited their house, and one of them was the Lord Jesus Christ, and they again, you see, told the covenant, you see, to Abraham, saying that in thy seed, in Sarah, you see, Sarah shall be blessed and you shall have a child. When this was told to Abraham, you see, Abraham could not control his laughter. He fell on the ground and laughed. So, you see, why did Abraham laugh? You see, Abraham laughed in joy. At this age, at the age of nearly more than 120 years, am I going to be blessed with a child? You see, dear brethren, but that was the faith which Abraham had. And according to that faith, at the age of nearly 100 years, Abraham and Sarah were blessed with a beautiful child. And that child name was Isaac. And as Isaac began to grow, you see, there was a problem in his family. You see, two wives, two children. So what will happen automatically? There will be a tug of war. So as they began to grow, you see, Ishmael began to tease, you see, and you see, and riddle Isaac. And it was not very pleasing to Sarah at all. Sarah could not never control this one, that anybody tease his son in front of her. And she told Abraham, this is not possible. We both can't live together. So please send off, you see, Ishmael and Ishmael's mother, Hagar. You see, what I'm telling you is just a story. Dear brethren, these are all mentioned in the book of Genesis 20, you see, chapter 20 to chapter 26. All these things are mentioned. I request everybody to kindly read it. Okay. But initially, Abraham did not agree. Abraham did not agree to send, you see, Ishmael and Hagar. But upon the compulsion of Sarah, and as God directed him, you see, he sends Ishmael and Hagar into the desert. But what did he give? Did he give any property? Did he give anything to the hands? If you see, no, brethren. He just gave a little bit of bread and water and sent them away into the desert. So, as they were wandering in the desert, they had a terrible time. You see, whatever food they had, in that when they sustained the life. But once everything was over, Ishmael was almost at the verge of death. He was almost supposed to die. But at the dying moment, you see, Hagar had no choice, you see, than to pray to God. She sheltered her son as much as possible, you see, from the death. But ultimately, when nothing could be done, Hagar pleaded before God, God, have mercy on my child. That is the time that, you see, an angel, you see, came to Hagar and comforted her. And you see, a brook of water, a fountain of water was opened, you see. And because of that water, you see, Hagar and Hagar's son, Ishmael, lived. You see, but as this picture was happening parallelly, that means as Hagar and Ishmael were suffering in the wilderness, there was a parallel event happening in the life of Abraham, you see. You see that Isaac began to grow, and Isaac, as he grew, what happened? Sarah passed away, and the wedding of Isaac took place. We all know that was the wife of Isaac. Who is the wife of Isaac? Can anybody tell me who is the wife of Isaac?
Rebecca.
Very good. Rebecca. You see, Rebecca was the most beautiful virgin. You see, she gave camels to drink water. No, how many camels? 10 camels. Each camel will drink 50 buckets of water. 10 camels means 500 buckets of water. Ooh, which beautiful woman will take her from the well and give it for the camels? Nobody would do that, but she did it. And Abraham had sent, you see, his chief servant, Eliezer, to seek a wife for Isaac. And Eliezer, seeing the character of Rebecca, he was so stunned. You see, he prayed that God has blessed his journey. And when he approached his brother Laban, Rebecca also agreed for it. Immediately he traveled. She had to travel a long distance, more than 300 kilometers on the camel. And you see, came to see, you see, Isaac. And as soon as Isaac, you see, Rebecca saw Isaac, immediately she put a veil upon her face. So dear brethren, after this, you know, by the time, you see, Sarah was dead and Sarah was buried. After that one, you know, a miracle really happened. Abraham married for a third time, you see. And after the third marriage, you know, how many children were born to Abraham? Six children were born to Abraham. Let us read it. Genesis 25th chapter verses 1 and 2. Anybody can read? Mosam brother or Krishna brother, anybody can read? Genesis 25, 1 and 2.
Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Asbek and Soha.
See, he married the third wife. The name was Keturah. Who were born? Six sons. Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishpakshua. Imagine for him, Isaac to be born. That itself was a great difficulty, isn't it? But after the death of Sarah, imagine at such an old age, giving birth to six children is really stunning, dear brethren. A very, very great surprise. It is almost impossible. You see, but that has happened. Now, what is the meaning of all these things? What is the Bible say about all these things? We all know type and anti-type. All the things written in the Old Testament are type. Fulfillment are seen in the New Testament. Let us read Colossians 2nd chapter, brother. 16 and 17, brother. Most of brother, can you read Colossians 2nd chapter 16 to 17?
Okay, brother.
Sorry, I removed the verses to give you opportunity to read from the Bible.
Yeah, okay. Colossians 2, 16, 17. Okay. It's written here. Let not man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holiday or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Which are a shadow of good things to come, but the body is of Christ. Shadow, good things to come. That means body is of Christ. It's in Christ everything is there. You see, fulfilled. So we all know, you see, Abraham represents God and Isaac represents Lord Jesus Christ. Then, who does these three wives of Abraham represent? This should also be given in the Bible now. If that is all given in the Bible, this also should be given in the Bible now. Where is it given? What does it mean? Devadran, these three wives of Abraham in the Bible signifies three covenants. Let us read, brother. Galatians 4 chapter, brother. 22 to 24, brother. Galatians 4 chapter 22 to 24, brother. Krishna, brother, can you read?
Okay, sir. Galatians. Galatians 3 chapter, sir.
4 chapter, verse 22 to 24, brother.
22 to 24. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bond man and other by a free woman. But he who was of the bond man was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generate to bondage, which is Agar.
You see, what does it say? Abraham had two sons, born out of two men. One was a servant, and one was a free woman, a natural woman, a natural wife. And what does the Bible say? Verse 24. These things are an allegory. You see, for these two represents two covenants. You see, that means Abraham's wife means what? It signifies two covenants. Now, what is this covenant? You see, covenant means what? Agreement. You see, in those days, the agreement used to be called as what? Covenant, agreement. You see, now why do we make agreement? We make agreement because of guarantee, because of a surety. You see, we make agreement, why? Because of surety, dear brethren. Or else, what will happen now? If anything happens here, there will be no guarantee. Then we will be cheated. We don't want to be cheated. Hence, we make agreement. House agreement, lease agreement, you see, sale agreement. Correct? Even while buying a vehicle, we make agreement. It's a document. Why? Because taking an agreement is a guarantee. Similarly, God made covenants in the Bible, agreements in the Bible. Okay, how many did God make? There's so many, you see, covenants which God made. And the first covenant which God made was with Adam. It's given in Hosea 6:7. You can read it. So Hosea 6:7 says, you see, God made a covenant with Adam, but Adam broke that covenant. And the next covenant God made was with Noah. You see, he put a rainbow in the sky, you know, and said, this is the token of my covenant. Henceforth, I will never destroy the entire earth by a flood. So that was the covenant which God made with whom? Noah. So that was a rainbow covenant. And the third covenant, an important covenant which God made, was with Abraham. That's what we're reading now. That in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So just imagine this covenant God actually made with Abraham. So, let us look what all names can be given to this covenant which God made to Abraham. But let us read that verse once, brother. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. Moshe, brother, can you read Genesis 22, 16 to 18?
Okay, brother. Genesis 22, 16 to 18 is written here. And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because though that thou hast done these things and hast not withheld the son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply the seed as the star of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And
in this, see, here God says, I have sworn upon myself that in thy seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. So this covenant God had made with Abraham. So therefore, we can call it as Abrahamic covenant. And did God put any condition? No, if you do this one, I will do that one. No. God had put conditions to Adam. If you don't eat the fruit thereof, I shall bless you. But here, God did not put any condition to Abraham. No conditions were there. That's all. Okay, God did not tell you do that, thou do this, all the things. No. He said, let your children be obedient or not. In thy seed, I shall bless, means I shall bless. There was no condition. Therefore, this covenant is called as an unconditional covenant. And the third one, how did God make this agreement? He sealed it with his promise. He promised upon himself. So therefore, this is called as an oath-bound covenant. And the fourth name, this covenant is telling whether you are good or bad, I will bless. That means what? This is grace. Whether the people of this world do wickedness, whether the people of this world do good, I will definitely bless everybody. I have taken oath upon myself. Therefore, this covenant can be called also as grace covenant. Okay. And you see, God sealed it. Therefore, it is a promise. Okay. Now, let me ask you, is there any difference between promise and agreement? Do you know any difference between promise and agreement? Or else, are both one and the same? Are promise and agreement one and the same?
agreement initiated by both parties, but promise can given by only one person, like God promised to Abraham, and Abraham has nothing to responsible for that promise.
Very good. Okay, good. Mohsen brother, what about you?
Promise is basically made by one person to another, no? Then that if we accept that, it will become agreement, I think so.
Okay, good. See, I'll give you an example. I will promise you that I will give you 1,000 rupees. How many of you believe it? I will tell tomorrow, I promise you that I'll give you 1,000 rupees. So,
yes, Paul.
Does it mean that I am surely going to give it to you?
Probability only.
Probably.
We don't know.
Correct. That is the promise. But if I make agreement and sign a contract and tell you, I will definitely give you 1,000 rupees, see, I made a signature and give you one agreement, means what does it mean? Does it mean surely or does it mean probably?
Now you are in bondage.
Very good, brother. This is the oath. This is the agreement. See, God not only promised Abraham, he made a covenant. So there is a difference between agreement and promise. See, I promise. I will promise whatever I want. But keeping the promise is up to me. If I don't keep the promise, nobody can do anything to me. But if agreement is done, we are bound to do it. Therefore, God, you see, made a agreement. Let us read one verse, brother. This is very beautifully given. Hebrews 6 chapter, brother. Hebrews 6 chapter, verse 13 and verse 14, 16. Read, brother. Read from verse 13 to 16, brother. The explanation is given there.
Hebrews 6:13?
6:13, correct, brother.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
He obtained the promise. He says, God promised to Abraham. He swore it. Why did he swear upon himself? Why did God swear upon himself? Because there is no other person who is greater than God. So God is the greatest person. So he swore upon himself. Now why this swearing takes place? You imagine, you know, in school days, imagine while playing, somebody would have hurt a neighbor's child. He would have hit with a stone. Blood would have started to come. Immediately the child will come and secretly hide in the house. Then neighbor's parents will come along with the child. They will call, see what your child has done. He has hit my son with a stone. Blood is flowing. Immediately, what will the parents tell? No, no, my child is not like that. He is very good. See, he is writing there decently. Why telling lies upon my child? Why simply blame on my child? Then they will tell, no, no, call your child. Ask him in front of us. Then if he come and ask the child, tell me, man, what happened, please? Did you do it? If he tell, what will the child tell? Mother promised mummy. Mummy, I did not do it, mummy. If the child tell like that, imagine, whom will the parents believe? Will the parents believe the child or will the parents believe the neighbors? Tell me. Did you understand?
Parents believe child.
Parents will believe the child. Why? Because his child can never take a false promise upon his mother, who is greater. So, by taking a promise, by taking a oath, it means That is the end of argument. That is the close of the chapter. That means that is the very fact, that is the truth that will be fulfilled. Read, the Bible says in verse 16.
Again, verse 16. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
16.
Yeah, 16. 616, no?
Yeah, you read 15.
For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife.
See, for men verily swear by greater, and an oath of confirmation is end of all strife. If somebody takes a oath, it means it's the end of everything. That means there is no further debate at all. That is the reason God did not want mankind to have any doubt, dear brethren. Therefore, he wanted the mankind to have confirmation that he is surely going to bless. That is the reason he made a covenant, not just a promise. You see, dear brethren, therefore, you see, Abraham had three wives. Now, let us see the comparison. You see, what does the Bible say? Now come to Galatians. Let us read Galatians. Fourth chapter, brother. Fourth chapter, verse 24, brother.
Which things are an allegory for these are the two covenant that one from the Mount Sinai, which kindred to bondage.
Which is Agar. There are two covenants. And one covenant, it says, it is from Mount Sinai. You tell me, at Mount Sinai, which was the covenant that God gave to Israel? Which covenant did God give at Mount Sinai? What did Moses come and collect from Mount Sinai?
Ten commandments.
That means the law. So, Apostle Paul is telling Hagar represents the law covenant. You see? Now, you see what happened there? Verse 25, brother. Continue, brother. Verse 25.
25 also?
Mm.
For this, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and so to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children.
See, there Hagar and Ishmael. So similarly, law covenant is having the children and it is in their bondage, it seems. Remember, Hagar was not a queen. You see, she was not a princess. She was a slave woman whom Abraham married. So similarly, this law covenant, you see, God made this covenant with the people of Israel. You see, and as the people of Israel were under this covenant, they came under the bondage of the law covenant. You see, as Agar married Abraham, immediately Ishmael was born. Similarly, as soon as God made the law covenant, the Jewish nation was formed. They were under this bondage of the law covenant. But did God forget the original promise that in thy seed the nation shall be blessed? No, there was a real seed that was to come, and that was Isaac. Read verse 22, brother. Read verse 22. Galatians 4:22, brother.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the another by a free woman.
Other by a free woman. That means Sarah also represents a covenant. Okay? But she did not have the child immediately. It took a lot of years to have the child after the birth of Ishmael only. So similarly, see, who does this Sarah represents? If you read that verse, verse 26 is given there, brother. Answer. Read, brother, verse 26.
Galatians 4:26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
There is a mother for us all, it seems, brother. And that is a heavenly Jerusalem, it seems. Now you tell me, which is the heavenly Jerusalem? Which is heavenly Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem. Where do we read about heavenly Jerusalem in the Bible? Revelation 21st chapter. Heavenly Jerusalem, we read in the Bible, no? Okay, let us read. Revelation 21, brother. Revelation 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2, brother.
And I soon saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Bride adorned for the husband. Bride is Jesus. Bridegroom is Jesus. Bride is the church. So heavenly Jerusalem means what? The church. Now read verse 28, brother. Galatians 4:28. It's given there only. See? Galatians 4:28.
Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
Are the children of promise. So there Sarah gave birth to Isaac. So similarly, this Abrahamic covenant gave birth to the heavenly Jerusalem class, that is we. Therefore, remember, God promised two types of blessings to Abraham, heavenly and earthly. Sand of the seashore, stars of the sky. Now let us come to the picture of Abraham. Abraham initially loved Sarah very much. But did she give birth to a child? No. So similarly, God loved this covenant. He took a oath upon himself that in thy seed, all the nations shall be blessed. But did that seed come immediately? Did Jesus come immediately? No. Jesus did not come immediately. Okay. That covenant was supposed to wait. So there was a lot of time gap from the promise which God made to Abraham till the law covenant. Therefore, law covenant was added. As soon as law covenant was added, what happened? The Jewish nation came into picture. But even though the Jewish nation was selected by God, God's chosen seed was Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And the church. But once when the Jesus Christ came to this earth, what happened? Immediately. You see? The persecution began. Read Galatians 4:29, brother. Galatians 4:29.
But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now.
So it is now. You see, there what happened? Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Similarly, when Jesus and the church was born, that means they began to grow, immediately the Jewish people began to persecute first Jesus and then the church. Therefore, both the people could not live together. The Jewish nation and the church could not be mixed together. So what did God told Abraham? He told Abraham to divorce. So similarly, the Jewish nation was rejected. Read, brother. Read verse 30 and verse 31, brother. Same. Galatians 4:30 and 31.
Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out of the one woman and her son. For the son of the bond woman shall not be here with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bond woman, but of the free.
So there what happened? The persecutions happened, so similarly. So So Israel as a nation was cast off totally, and they had a lot of trouble. You say we are going to study about the class of Israel in the coming days. But once Israel people crucified Christ on the cross, God rejected Israel as a nation. They suffered a lot of things. You see, they were humiliated. They were tortured, especially during the Second World War. You see, 60 lakhs and more than that one, the Jews were persecuted. And that was the dying stage, you see, for the people of Israel. But what did Hagar do? Hagar did not keep quiet. She prayed to the Lord. And as she prayed to the Lord, you see, a fountain of water was shown. So similarly, today, the nation of Israel is there, but it is there in a lot of trouble. In future also, there is going to be severe trouble upon Israel. And that is the time that the people of Israel will cry to God. God will give them the living waters, the truth. So let us read Zechariah 14:2 and Zechariah 12:10, brother. Krishna, brother, can you read one of the verses? Zechariah 14:2, can you read? Also, brother, can you read Zechariah 12:10?
Zechariah 14:2, sir. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses refilled, and the women revealed, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and people shall not be cut off from the city.
See, half of the city shall go to captivity, it seems. All the world shall gather against Israel, it seems. That is the future. That is the end point of almost Ishmael will be dying. That is the stage we are going to approach in very future. Okay, this is a prophecy. We're going to study all these things in the coming days. But that is the time that Hagar cried to God. Similarly, Israel people will cry to God for help. Read, brother. Now read Zechariah 12:10.
And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourn for his holy son. And shall be...
See, without knowing, they crucified Jesus. But at the time of Third World War, you see, which is going to shortly happen, you see, they will cry to God for help. And that is the time that God will help Israel. As God helped Hagar to save Ishmael, similarly, Israel shall be saved. How? God did not give any super blessings from heaven, but God showed him the fountain. That fountain is a fountain of the living water. Then that is how people of Israel shall be saved. Read Zechariah 14:3, brother. Have you read Zechariah 14:2? Read Zechariah 14:3. Krishna, brother, read Zechariah 14:3.
Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle.
Then God will fight. As God saved Hagar, similarly Israel shall be saved. Now, as this is happening, parallelly what was happening? Isaac was preparing for the marriage. Isaac means what? Jesus. Now, Jesus' bride. Who is the bride of Jesus? Church.
Church.
Rebecca means the church. So here what is happening parallelly? The church is getting selected. See, as we are seeing trouble over Israel, you can see a lot of war, Gaza, bombs, all these things. This is all Bible prophecy. Israel is suffering. Here the church is being developed. Bible is preached. Many people are coming to the knowledge of truth. The church is developing. You see, but once this marriage is over, what will happen now? You see, once the church is united with Christ, what will happen? A special thing will happen. You know, Abraham will marry third time. That means a third covenant is going to happen. And the special thing about the third covenant is that six sons will be born to Abraham, it seems. Oh, you imagine? When he could not give birth to Isaac, six sons. This is really shocking. How can he give birth as six sons? But that is what is going to happen. That means Ketura represents a new covenant which God is going to establish with the whole world in the 1,000 years. Let us read about that covenant, brother. It's beautifully given in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, brother. Most of the read, brother. Jeremiah 31, chapter 31 to 34.
Jeremiah 31st.
Chapter 31st to 34.
Okay. Yeah, it's written here. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And 34, no?
Correct. See, I'll make a new covenant. How will this covenant be there? Continue.
Should I continue?
Continue, brother. Okay. Read till verse 34, brother.
Okay. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt.
This is not like an Egyptian covenant. This is not going to be like Hagar slave. What did they do with Hagar? What happened? Continue.
Which my covenant they break.
They broke the covenant. Ishmael began to persecute Isaac. God broke the covenant. The marriage was divorced. Then continue, brother.
Although I was an husband unto them.
Underline,
the
although
Lord.
I was a husband, God is the husband of Israel. Abraham, husband of Hagar. So similarly, God is husband of Israel. Continue.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their heart and will be their God. And they shall be my people.
First covenant was given on tablet, stone. But here it will be written on heart. By heart, we'll tell now, read by heart it. It will be coming from the heart. Continue, brother.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord.
All
for I will forgive.
Know, everybody will know. From least to the greatest. Continue.
From the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their impurity and I will remember their sin no more.
No more. This is the new covenant. Now, if you tell this one to the whole world, that the whole world will be blessed, what will the people think? This is impossible. But this is possible. How many sons were born to Ketura? 6 sons. That means the people of this world who lived for 6,000 years. They're going to come back to the world in the resurrection. All the people lived in the 6,000 years have come back to in the resurrection. If we tell about the 1,000 years plan of salvation for all, what will the people tell? They will get surprised. That is the meaning of word Ketura. The word Ketura means incense. A beautiful, you see, a very good smell. You see, that is the meaning of a word Ketura. So similarly, this plan God has made for the whole world, where all the dead are going to come back to life. You see, they're going to live on this earth. This is a beautiful smell. To whom? For a suffering world. But not many people will accept it. He says, so similarly, now, what did we study today? Abraham, 3 wives, represents 3 covenants. You see, first covenant from Sarah, second covenant from Hagar, third covenant from Ketura, from Sarah, Isaac was born. That means that represents the church and Jesus Christ. from Hagar, Ishmael came. That represents the law covenant from whom the Jewish nation came. But there was a quarrel between Isaac and Ishmael. So similarly, the Jewish nation persecuted Jesus and the church and crucified them. So what happened? They were cast off. They were divorced. You see? And Isaac was married. After Isaac's marriage, Abraham married the third time and six sons were born. The six sons represents the 6,000 years people who are living on this world. Okay? So, let the Lord add his blessings to these words. I will send the notes of this class. Please go through it for any questions.